Our God is a great God. He's more than a great God. He's an awesome God. There's something that is all around us, and it affects every mother, son, and daughter. And it is something we don't even have to go looking for, because it'll find us. Be finding in your Bibles tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let us hear these words anew. Can we do that? You've probably heard them before, but let's try to hear them anew. Hear them fresh. Would you please rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. If you're there, say amen. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is what, church? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to what, church? That ye may be able to what, church? Father, tonight as we come, Lord, I have enjoyed studying for this message, for ye have opened my eyes to something I had never seen before, something that it just makes so much sense. And I pray tonight that you will give me the ability to share it with the sheep of your pasture. Lord, would you feed us tonight as we feed on the Word of God? Would we go away full and satisfied that we were in the house of the Lord and we have been filled with the bread of life? And we pray this tonight in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Well, Paul brings it right out to us. He just shares with us right off the bat that the thing that's going to find us is temptation. The book of Job puts it this way, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Temptation is all around us, and I'm not telling you anything that you do not know. You don't have to go looking for it. But there is one thing that you may not know, and that is we are not tempted because we are sinful. Jesus was tempted. We should know that Jesus did not give in, that he did not sin, because if Jesus gave in and sinned, our meeting here tonight is absolutely foolishness. And we would still be dead in our trespasses and sins. And so the Bible says this regarding Jesus, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so understand that we are tempted simply because we are human. Another thing that you may not know and should know is that if handled rightly, temptations can draw us closer to God. Now, there are three ways in which we can handle temptation. First, we can give in to it, and we have a generation right now presently living that said, who's bothered by temptation? I just do what I want to do. Everybody else doing the same thing, so it must be all right. If it feels good to me, I'm going to do it. Well, a lot of people are living that way. Do you agree with that? And that's really the way to live if you want to live your life on the animal plane. Consider that an animal. What does an animal live for? And you know, this parsonage over here is a blessed place because I get to sit on that front porch and I get to watch them cattle. And as I watch them cattle, I try to get into their head a little bit, and they're not much up there. But here's what they live for: self-propagation. They just butt their heads, push one another all over that pasture. They live for self-propagation, self-preservation. Man, they can eat that grass like there's nobody's business. And let Clint drive over there with feed on a truck, and they run around that truck like dogs. I mean, they just circle it. And then they live for self-gratification. And, oh, they just lay down in that pasture, and they just chew that cud. Yum, 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 yum. And that's what they do. Self-propagation, self-preservation, self-gratification. They're like the lady who claimed, I can overcome anything but temptation. Many people live like that. They're living life on the animal plane. You know, well, there's a second way we can handle temptation. And the second way is we can choose to fight against it. And those who choose to go this way, the only problem with that is they're relying on their own strength. And they don't know who they're up against. They're the opposite of those who are giving in to temptation when they're a thought. They're fighting against it. They're constantly struggling, and yet they're constantly failing. They're like the little boy who was sitting under the farmer's apple tree, and the farmer called him and said, "Are you trying to steal my apples?" He looked up at that farmer and he said, "No, sir, I'm trying not to." I heard of a man who was on a diet. And Brother James can probably relate to this. And on his diets, donuts were a no-no. And yet, as he had to go to work, he had to drive right by the donut shop every day. And let me tell you, that temptation was like a woman just blowing sweet nothings in his ear. Oh, just think about how that donut, that freshly made, warm, glazed donut would go with that hot cup of coffee. And he said, "I can't take this temptation." And he turned his car and he drove around, and there it was again. Just think. Just one isn't going to hurt. It's warm. They baked it just for you. You can do this. Who's going to know? Well, you know, the third time around there, he made a statement. He said, "Unless there's a parking spot in front of the door, I won't stop." Around the block he went again. Warm. Just think how satisfied you're going to be. Oh, you can do it. And once you know it, a parking spot opened up right in front of the door. And he failed. A lot of times we're just like that little boy or that man, aren't we? Trying to fight temptation in our own strength, only to fail time and again. That's the hard change challenge for every one of us, isn't it? God gives us hard change challenges, things we know we need to change, and we go about it in the wrong way. We don't give in to it, but we fight against it, but we constantly fail time and time again. And why are we failing? Because we're leaning on the wrong source. When you lean on yourself, you're going to fail. Now, that's a good place for an amen, so you can say that because you know that's true. There's a third way to fight temptation and overcome it, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, every son and daughter needs to know that is that there is hope in the midst of our temptations. Believe it or not, you can live victoriously. Whether your temptation is in the area of overeating, lust, laziness, or whatever it might be that affects you, you can overcome it. You can live it victoriously. You don't have to be a slave to it. You don't have to give in to this world system. You don't have to give in to your flesh. You don't have to give in to the devil, because our text teaches what? Our text, if you look at it, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand, taketh heed lest he fall. You see, don't think that you stand, because if you think you stand, you're going to fall. So be mindful. That is, understand that you aren't all that in a box of rocks. Don't be prideful. Don't think that you can handle it. Be mindful that you could fall, and look for God's provision in the midst of your temptation, because God's promise is this. It's right there in this verse. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Listen, your temptation is no different than anybody else's temptation. It is what? It is common to man. But God is faithful. Oh, I'm so thankful that God is faithful. And the Bible says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now listen, we all suffer when we're tempted, because we know that what we're about to do, we ought not to do. We know it's not going to please God. It's only going to please ourselves. That's why they call it temptation. And God says, you're going to suffer, but you're not going to suffer to the point that you're not able to handle it. Because when that temptation comes, God promises he's going to make a way of escape. You see it right there, that you may be able to bear it. What does it mean to bear it? It means that you're going to be able to hang on to it. You're going to be able to let go of it. You're going to be able to overcome it in the power of God's strength. We are all subject to temptation. There isn't a single one of us here tonight that is not subject to temptation. Don't ever get the idea that when you got saved, you won't be tempted, because first of all, the Christian life is not a playground, it is a battleground. And the Bible teaches that you have an adversary, and his name is Satan. And this is what the Bible says about him: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, prowleth around seeking whom he may devour. You got an enemy, an adversary, and he wants to chew you up, and he wants to spit you out, he wants to devour you. If you're a Christian, you're going to be tempted. And so what we need to know as a Christian is how to handle temptation, because you're going to be bombarded with temptation in all areas of your life. Be it dishonesty, materialism, greed, pride, sex, you name it. Being saved does not make you immune from temptation. Being saved puts a target on your back. Understand this also, being tempted is not a sin. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are. That's how we know it's not a sin, because our Lord and Savior was also tempted, yet he was without sin. Do you want to know where the very first place Satan's going to attack you? What got him kicked out of heaven? Pride. Five times he said, I will, I will, I will, I will. That's the essence of pride, I will. And a prideful person is an easy target, and we're all subject to pride. Many of us, when we're young, we thought we were 10 feet tall and bulletproof. We aren't, of course, but we think, well, let me say, as we got older, as we age, we thought we were. We thought we could handle anything. Boy, life has a way of humbling us, doesn't it? But do you realize this? The proud person, the person who goes around and says, I can handle anything, they're an easy mark for Satan, because they have put a target on their back. They tempt Satan to tempt them. They tempt Satan to tempt him. If you're careless about sin, you're going to fall. And so again, we look back here, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth. In other words, be careful. Be careful. And realize that you can sin. See, we live in a world today that takes sin as if it's no big deal. But it only took a little half-truth. And we've all done worse than that. But Jesus had to die for that half-truth. It cost a great price to forgive you and I of our sin. And we need to understand and realize that we can sin. As a matter of fact, if we don't walk in the Spirit, we're going to be walking in the flesh. And when we walk in the flesh, even though we may be saved, we are capable in our flesh of committing every sin listed in the Bible. You know what the Bible says about the heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And you know that because of the thoughts that go through the old noodle from time to time. You see, God is just reminding us of the heart. He's reminding us of the cost of sin. He's reminding us, don't think you stand, because the moment you do, you're going to fall. Don't put a target on your back. Don't say, I can, or I will, because you will fall. You cannot handle temptation in your flesh. Now here's how I know that, because perhaps everybody in here has been on a diet. Maybe there's some that's never had the diet. What are the first three letters of the word diet? D-I-E. That's why they call it die, and then they add a T to it. But you die when you diet. Say amen. And have you ever noticed that you fail? Do you realize I have spent the last, I even hate to admit this, I have spent the last 40 years dealing with the same 40 pounds. I lose it, it comes back. I lose it again, it brings a few friends. And I'll lose it again. And every time I say, I'm not going back. But then I got a wife who makes ginger snaps, chocolate chip cookies, peanut butter cookies. And I know y'all don't know nothing about this down here, but up north we have this stuff called peanut butter fluff. It's peanut butter with marshmallow fluff, and it's kryptonite for me. I love it. And when Michelle's not home, I just get my little spatula, my jar of peanut butter, and my fluff, and that's what I eat because I can't cook. If anything happens to my wife, I won't be the pastor much longer because I will die of peanut butter and fluff. It's just the way it is. We don't handle things in our own flesh very well, do we? You know, and that kind of reminds me something that Jesus said. And it's so important we grasp this. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Okay? Without me, ye can do nothing. You might put it this way. When I try, I fail. When I trust, he succeeds. Okay? The wisest thing any of us can do when it comes to temptation is to admit our need for his help. You know what? Something I've noticed about us males, men. Men, can I ask you, has your wife ever looked at you and gone, men? We're the last people who want to admit our need for help, aren't we? But we need to admit our need for his help. And we need to trust in his promise that he will make a way of escape for you. Now, there are some folks I've talked to through the years, and they say, I just don't understand why God doesn't just kill the devil and remove all this temptation from us. And the reason is because that's not God's plan for us. God's plan is not immunity. God's plan is victory. And this is why we need to be teaching our children the Bible, because the only way they're going to overcome the world is through faith. Faith in God. Trusting God. What is it that overcomes the world? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And without faith in God, they don't stand a chance. See, we need to sharpen our children on the Bible. We need to sharpen ourselves on the Bible so that we can go out in the dark places of this world and shine the light of the gospel. Man, there's souls that are lost, souls that need Jesus, and time is growing short. God's plan isn't immunity. It's victory. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But that victory is never going to be yours or mine until we admit our need for His help. And provide and trust in His provision for that way of escape. Now you may be wondering, where does temptation come from? What is temptation's source? And the more I thought about it, it comes from three sources. The first is our external foe, this world system. Do you remember the Apostle John wrote, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." 1 John 2:15. Now when John says, "Love not the world," he's not talking about the planet, because God made the earth. And when God created the earth, He said, "It is good." And He isn't talking about the people, because people are created in the image of God. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." And God called it good. And souls, they need to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Every soul needs to be one to Jesus. And so what John is referring to is this world system. And the system of the world is a system of things that stands in direct contrast to our Lord and to His ways. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. In other words, don't be about the world's ways. Don't do business the way the world does business. This system tempts us to forsake God's ways for its ways. And like we said at the beginning, that's to live life on the animal plane. It's to be concerned only with self-propagation, self-preservation, self-gratification. That's the system of the world. The second is an internal foe called the flesh. In the Bible, God's Word states, Galatians 5:19 to 21, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Well, in that list, every one of us was saved from one of those things in that list, and maybe more. The flesh is not talking about your hide, your hair, your nerves, or our physical bodies. Our physical bodies are not evil. For if our physical bodies were evil, God would have never said, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." The Bible uses the word flesh to mean the predisposition to sin that we all inherit from Adam. Like it or not, we all have inside of us this enemy, this old thing called the flesh. It's present in all of us. And you know that it's there. We are all, the Bible teaches, children of wrath. Ephesians 2 and 3. And you know as well as I do, you do not have to teach a child to be selfish. You don't have to teach someone to lie. We have this enemy inside of us. It's called the flesh. So when Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are to live in that new creation. In other words, we're to make a conscious choice. Not to live as the old man, but to be walking in the new man that is in Christ. We're to put off the old and to put on the new that we have learned in Christ. Some folks like to say, and Flip Wilson always said this, well, the devil made me do it. You don't get off that easy, friend. You realize if the devil was no more, we'd go right on sinning because of this thing inside of us called the flesh. And I'm certain if you're anything like me, there's been a time in your life when it's just like the cartoons, isn't it? The good angel sitting on the right shoulder, the devil sitting on the left shoulder, and you just arguing with yourself all day long. We have an external foe, we have an internal foe, and then we got an infernal foe. Named the devil. And he's the mastermind behind all these other things. The Bible teaches, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the devil's plan is to sabotage your life and mine. He wants nothing more than to ruin you and me. He wants nothing more than to ruin the church. He wants nothing more than to ruin our lives, bring death to our happiness, our joy, and our purity. Anything that is of God and is good, he wants to destroy. So you see, temptation comes from an unholy trinity, and that's what I learned this week. Because I thought about this message. We have the external foe, this world system. We have an internal foe, our flesh, and we have an infernal foe, the devil. And together they are the unholy trinity of temptation that we have to face and battle with every single day. And our flesh is like a pool of gasoline. And the world is like a lighted match, and it is the devil is the one who strikes it and the one who throws it. So you see, that's how temptation comes about. And the only way we can overcome it is found right here in these two wonderful verses of God's Word. First, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In other words, be mindful, not prideful, so that you do not fall. And then admit your need for Jesus Christ and his help. Because you aren't tough enough. You aren't strong enough. You aren't smart enough. You aren't all that, nor am I. We need his help. And then trust in his promise. He will provide the way of escape. Father, oh, how wonderful you are. What a magnificent word that you have given unto us. Lord, it is our strength. Father, it is you who said, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Lord, if we want victory in our lives and not defeat, we've got to lean on the everlasting word. We've got to take it. We've got to chew on it. We've got to decide whether we'll believe it. And then, Lord, we've got to act on it in obedience. And Lord, I just pray tonight, because temptation strikes at every age, whether one is young or one is elderly or one is somewhere in between. One thing we can all be guaranteed is temptation will come. But you, O Lord, will provide the way of escape that we can bear it and we can overcome it. In Jesus' name. Lord, we pray in your name tonight. Amen and amen.